This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Never mind, because Aaron's not here. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also go to the Twitch channel and put your comments on there if you missed the first hour. Pretty sportsy, a little baseball-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, I tease this story. 72-year-old man, James Michael Meyer. Michael Myers.
So
just Michael Meyer one.
Was he related to the comedian or to the murderer?
Well, he's on Team Murderer now.
Okay.
He reported a home invasion for shooting a burglar outside his home. This was early Thursday morning.
Okay.
His wife also contacted a lawyer to ask for advice before he called 911, and he's been charged with murder. Meyer told police he saw someone trying to break into his storage shed around 5 a.m. after hearing a noise outside. He then grabbed his gun, went out and yelled that he'd shoot if the person came closer. The person took several steps towards him, and Meyer wasn't a liar. He shot him. As the burglar dropped his pickaxe and ran toward a nearby park, Meyer fired another shot in the direction of the park. Investigators wrote the suspected burglar posed no threat of serious bodily injury once he ran off, based on Meyer's account.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Allegedly not knowing whether he shot anyone. Well, I don't know. We'll debate this on the other after I finish the story. Allegedly not knowing whether he shot anyone, Meyer told police he went back to bed. He got up around 7 and told police he thought he saw a black bag in the park. No, it was a man's body. Meyer then told a 911 dispatcher he was the victim of a crime and that medical help was needed. And there was no information about an attorney. He's being held on a $150,000 bond. Now, imagine you find someone breaking into your house or your property and you shoot at them and they run. You don't know that they don't have a gun. They may be looking to get somewhere where they can get to their gun and shoot at you. I don't have a problem firing off.
I hate these what if things in these situations, because neither of us have ever been in a situation like that where somebody's, well, I've been in the situation where somebody broke into my house, but they got away before I could get to them. So yeah, I think the hypotheticals are silly because you don't know what it's like in that moment.
Right.
And if the guy takes off running,
do you think he should be charged with murder?
Certainly manslaughter. I don't know about murder because, I mean, did you intend to kill him is a question.
Think about this.
Right? There has to be an intent for there to be murder.
I mean, let's say the first shot hit him in the face. Would it be justified?
Well, certainly in Texas it is.
Yeah. Someone's breaking into your property. You catch them. You tell them to freeze. Don't come any closer.
Yeah, and the guy comes
and
at
the
you.
The guy comes forward with a pickaxe. Yeah. I'm going to shoot you up.
I am going to shoot as well. But if you take off running, no, I'm not going to shoot you in the back. And frankly, I'd probably just shoot the gun in the air first to see his reaction. And then if he didn't take off, then yeah, I'd shoot him if he came at me with a pickaxe.
No, I don't do that. If I pull out my gun.
But I don't know.
If I pull out my gun, I'm not playing around.
Because I can't sit here and tell you that because in that moment, you don't know what the hell's going on. And if I'm a 70-year-old man, hell, when those guys broke into my house, I don't know if I'd have shot him or not. But as at the moment, yeah, I probably would have.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So I just don't know. And so I kind of think the whole, well, let's judge this guy based on what we would do when we haven't been in that situation.
So when I was driving in this morning, I was listening. I found this true crime podcast. I normally don't listen to podcasts, but someone turned me on to this thing. And it was talking about Byron David Smith. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No.
He was like a 60-something-year-old dude. Ex-military, like a Vietnam vet, and his house kept getting broken into, and he suspected these kids of doing it. And so one day he parked his car up the road, went and sat in his basement and waited. And sure enough, here's a window break. Kid comes down the stairs. He shoots him, kills him. 17-year-old kid. He dragged his body into the shed. About 10 minutes later, 18-year-old kid comes bounding down the stairs looking for his it's her cousin, so it's a guy and a girl. He shoots her, kills her. Now, and it sparks this whole debate on, I mean, this is a 60-something-year-old man. The people that had broken into his house previously had stolen guns from his house. So if you know guns have been stolen from you, you assume that maybe they could be armed. And the guy got sentenced to life in prison. And it sparked like a big debate on whether or not, you know, when you're in your home, like what's the legitimate defense of your home?
Well, where did this take place?
That was in Minnesota.
Okay. Because in Texas, I'm pretty sure you'd get away with that.
But you know, like,
hell, they damn near let a police officer walk in and shoot a guy eating ice cream and claim that.
It's true.
Thankfully, they didn't do that. But I think it's one of those things where, like, believe me, I've thought about, you know what? I'm just going to leave my garage door open tonight and hide behind the car and hope those a-holes come back.
Yeah.
Have a little something for them when they get there. But
Lawyer Dave said don't do that.
I know. But do I really want to do that?
You saw that cop got charged with murder, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, she got convicted.
Or convicted.
Yeah, not charged. Yeah. She got convicted. And I'm good on the people for that. But if people want to know the name of the podcast.
Man, I knew you were going to ask me that. It is called Sword and Scale.
Okay.
And it's got some crazy ass stories.
There's some swords in it? Because that sounds like I'd be up my alley.
No, I don't. I mean, it's mostly about murders.
Yeah.
And
I have mixed feelings about this whole thing because, yeah, if you're setting a trap for somebody like that, then you are intending to do harm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think if somebody's breaking into your damn house, it's, you know, they're scumbags and I got no use for them.
That was his defense. He said, I don't see them as human. I saw them as vermin. Because they kept doing this. They stole his dad's POW watch. His dad was in a POW in World War II. They stole his dad's POW watch. He was like, I mean, this dude was pretty salty. And again, this is like a no-nonsense old man, like a 62-year-old Vietnam vet. He's not playing around.
Yeah, that's interesting because I honestly have mixed feelings about it because if you're intentionally laying a trap, then there is intent there. But by the same token, these people, to me, you lose your rights when you break into my damn house.
Once you're a criminal, yeah. I mean, and this guy in Dallas, he's 72 years old. That's the other thing I keep thinking at. Like, I'm imagining when I'm 72, I'm going to be a little less confident that if there's an altercation, that I'm just going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like a 72-year-old man, like if somebody's running at him with a pickaxe, like, you may have to think to use deadly force sooner than later if you're a 72-year-old man. Because if it comes to a physical fight, you're probably not going to win. You know, let's face it. So, I don't know. I think I'm if a guy's, you know, robbing your property and he's got a pickaxe in his hand and you shoot him, I don't feel bad.
Well,
I'm not charging that guy with murder, especially an old-ass man.
I don't feel bad for the people getting shot if they're criminals. You know, I honestly don't. I mean, do you deserve to get shot for breaking into a shed over some crap?
No, but maybe don't not. Do that.
But yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that. But it is, yeah, I don't know, man. When I'm 72, I hope to be sitting on my property in the middle of the woods and not having to worry about human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a shotgun on the porch. I'll be that guy. Yeah, welcome over, neighbor. Let's go shoot something out there. But, it's an interesting subject. I do think that, and especially with things like what you're talking about, I'd really like to hear what the testimony was. You know, I'd like to hear all the reasoning behind it.
Now, one thing with that Byron David Smith guy, he talked about it like they were, like he had shot animals. He's like, he put kill shots on them, like to make sure they were dead.
Yeah.
After he'd already,
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and I mean, they were teenage kids.
I don't care if you're a teenage kid. If you're breaking into my house, you're a bleeping criminal. Mm-hmm. But do you deserve to die for that?
That's the question.
That's the question.
And, I mean, listen, if one of those kids had a gun and they break into your house, I don't know. It's a tough call in my mind.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what is not a tough call if you need a lawyer. There's only one guy to call. Lawyer Dave. What's going on, buddy?
Well, listening to you guys talk about that tragic situation in Dallas, you know, it is a tough call every which way around it. And, gosh, I feel sorry for the family of the deceased. And I feel some badness for the woman. I know she didn't intend to shoot the guy. So, but, gosh.
What about this story of this old man in Dallas that shot the guy, you know, breaking into his storage shed? Did you read that story?
I did, and I'd shoot him, too. I'm sorry to say it. Maybe that's redneck of me, but I'd drop him, too.
All right, we're on the same team then, Dave. That's why you're my lawyer.
Darn right. Exactly right. Hey, Blitzers, not hoping you call me because you shot somebody, but if you happen to be in that situation, we'll help you out just like we do everybody else.
Well, but mainly, it's better off if you're in an accident, right? Like, if I'm in a car accident or industrials, if I slip and fall, the damn elevator tried to eat me here yesterday and almost hurt me, you're the guy I call, right?
That's exactly right. If you're hurt in an accident anywhere, anyhow, any place in Texas, call Lawyer Dave at 713-626-8900. And I'll do my best to help you out, for sure.
And you don't charge a dime for your consultation, so even if it's not something you deal with, you'll put them with the right person, and you don't get paid until they win.
That's right. We collect the money when we win together, and we don't charge any money for consultations. I had two today, and I sent the people to the people that could help them. But, yeah, I think it's incumbent upon me to have this, because I have the privilege of this job, to give people my time and find out what their needs are. You bet.
And based here in Houston, but you practice all over the place, so even our friends over in the Golden Triangle are good. Tell them how to get in touch with you, Dave.
You can hit me up at 713-626-8900, or you can find me at lawyerdave.com, or my Twitter handle is Lawyer Dave Law, I believe, and worst comes to worst, hit up Fred or AJ. Those fellas know how to find me 24/7.
Yeah, it is Lawyer Dave Law, and that happens all the time. If you have if you don't remember any of that, just hit me up on Twitter, and I'll put you in touch with him. What do we tell him, Dave?
We tell him, better dial Dave, 713-626-8900.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you, brother.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a good one. Hey, can we catch up on some college football? Because had a chance to talk about any of it.
Yeah, you don't want to talk more about murdering intruders and things like that?
Well, I mean, I'm not against it. I mean, if you have some new ones.
No. I mean, they...
So, but Lawyer Dave said it's okay. So that
No, he didn't say it's okay. don't do that.
Yeah, let's keep that accurate. All right, so we'll just talk about some of the top 25 games and some of the... Then some other games of interest, but
remember, by the way, you know what my biggest frustration with college football is? People arguing in September, October about rankings.
Yeah, it means nothing.
What's
right
your
now?
Team done? Why should Clemson be number one? Well, look what our team's done. So, like, who cares? It's all going to even out in the end. Like, it'll get done out. Don't worry.
Yeah.
If Clemson sucks, we'll figure it out. If, you know, if LSU's better than Oklahoma, we'll figure it out. If LSU's better than Alabama, we'll figure it. Like, it'll all shake out. Quit fighting over this team's ranked ahead of my team. My team beat this team. Your team didn't even beat them. It's lame. It's lame.
Why do I think you're talking about LSU fan?
No, I'm talking about a lot of different fans. A lot of Ohio State fans been big on this train right now. Because, let's face it, they've looked impressive. Clemson's not looked impressive. It'll be figured out.
And I think that's interesting to me because I do think right now, if I were ranking him, yeah, I'd have Ohio State ahead of Clemson. But it doesn't matter. It's going to play out.
And we're getting now into the part of the season where we're going to start eliminating teams from championship contention. Like Florida or Auburn, one of them's getting eliminated today this weekend. One of them's going to be done. We can stop talking about them.
Well, I think if Auburn loses, if they still went out and beat everybody else.
If Auburn loses to Florida, they're not winning out. Let's face that.
No, but that's, I mean, they're not dead. I mean, I don't think you can draw a line through them, but Florida you can. All right, let's look at some of the games. Remember when Maryland was putting up like 70 points on everybody?
They are they're a roller coaster ride.
I don't know how good Penn State is, but
remember those two coaches hate each other.
Yeah.
And James Franklin went out there looking to embarrass him, and he did a good job.
59-0.
Yeah.
And you play to win the game, apparently. Arizona State beats Cal. So much for Cal. Hey, good job.
Pac-12 pretty much eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that because,
like, I mean, maybe Oregon can win out, and then they can say, well, our only loss was barely to Auburn on a neutral, a game that we led the entire way.
But if Auburn's lost three games by then, you got no argument.
Yeah. So,
the Clemson-North Carolina game was incredible. Give Mac Brown credit for going for two, just bad play call there. But Clemson escapes. I just don't see a loss now on Clemson's schedule.
Yeah, but you didn't see North Carolina damn near beating them either. And let me tell you this about Clemson. If they lose a game, they should not make the playoff. Because they play, that conference is so bad, they play no one. Now, as the defending champs, if they finish unbeaten, maybe it's not right, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But their best win at the end of the season is probably going to be Texas A&M. And Texas A&M is basically a middle-of-the-pack SEC team.
Yeah, we'll get to them in a minute. We mentioned Ohio State. They go in and just house Nebraska. And I know
they're really good. And I think Brian Day is looking to make some statements. There was a lot of people questioning, whether or not he should have that job. And I think he's looking to make some statements. And now this weekend's going to be tough to do that because Michigan State always plays Ohio State tough. But Ohio State to go on the road and do that to Nebraska.
They were up 38-0 before. You know, it was just over. And that they score so quick. They score in bunches. Justin Fields is a monster. And you know, J.K. Dobbins, I mean, they're just loaded. And I'm impressed. And I wasn't going in.
I didn't believe in them either. I was wrong.
All right. But they look pretty good. Also looking pretty good. I would have never thought Jalen Hurts would throw for 415 yards in a game.
Dude, I'm not surprised. Welcome to
Now that he's at Oklahoma, but God, he looks better than the two guys before him there.
Yep.
And he never looked like that at Alabama. I mean, he looked good at Alabama.
Well, he's a full-grown person. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's true. But they beat Tech 55-16.
Now, I'll also say this about Oklahoma. Listen, this is what you're supposed to do. When you play bad teams, you're supposed to dominate them. They haven't played a good team yet.
No. I think Houston might be the best team
they probably played. Is. You know, at UCLA, Tech, those are bad. And they're at Kansas this week.
Yeah, you're not learning anything there.
But they'll get Texas 2 weeks from now, and we'll know something.
I'll tell you what else I like about that team. That CD Lamb is explosive. Yep. Auburn beats Mississippi State 56-23. I don't know whether this
That's a damn good win. Mississippi State's not crappy, and Auburn, they beat the pants off that team. It was like, it's 41-9 or 10 at halftime. It was over at halftime.
And the other thing too, Bo Nix seems to get better week after week after week, and that's what you want with a young quarterback. Wisconsin, I could kind of see a letdown coming this week after last week, but they didn't exactly pounce on Northwestern, 24-15.
No, but do you give credit to a team that in their previous three games outscored their opponents 145-14 and say, oh, so they only won by 9 points. Maybe we can allow it.
Well, if that's your bad game,
yeah,
I'll take it.
A conference game, you win by 9.
No, I do think this is a different Wisconsin team, but I also think the Michigan game was really emotional last week. There had to be a bit of a letdown, and there was.
You know who I feel bad for? Kent State. Because that's who gets it this week.
Yeah.
And they can't stop the run.
Oh, and they're terrible.
It's going to be ugly.
Florida won against nobody, so we're not going to talk about that one. Notre Dame covers against Virginia. I hate Notre Dame. I really do. I thought Virginia was going to cover that game. 35-20. And I think Notre Dame, probably a little better than I gave them credit for, at least what they've shown me against Georgia. And what I thought Virginia would give them a better game. Iowa beat Middle Tennessee. That doesn't matter. Washington.
Oh, well, Iowa plays Michigan this week.
Yeah, what do you think of that game?
And that does matter. And
I was plus five.
Dude, I don't want to tell people how to spend their money.
You do it all the time.
But Michigan doesn't do anything to disrupt offenses. You know how I talk about that havoc stat, which is like passes deflected, sacks, tackles for loss. Basically, the defensive disruption is the stat that you can find. Michigan is near the bottom, not just the bottom of Power 5 teams, near the bottom in FCS. Iowa is, I think, in the top five in havoc allowed. Their offensive line doesn't let you get to the quarterback. They don't let him get roughed up. They're not letting him get sacked. They're not letting their running back get tackled behind the line of scrimmage. I think Michigan is just going to get owned in the trenches. And I like Iowa. I'll just leave it at that.
I can't tell you the last time I actually bet on Iowa.
I can't either. I don't like to bet on them because
they're a team that
has a hard time getting separation typically. But they're allowing less than 10 points per game. Now, mind you, I mean, who's Iowa played? We can go to that again, and it's like Rutgers. Although Iowa State, I think, is good, and that was at Iowa State. They got a win there. That was not an easy thing to do. But other than that, Miami of Ohio, Rutgers, Middle Tennessee State, those are bad teams.
Yeah,
but I'm looking to fade this Michigan team anyway. And by the way, two of the teams that Michigan's played, Rutgers and Middle Tennessee State, two of those same crappy teams.
Well, at 6 o'clock, we'll go over some of the early lines, both NFL and college, so we can talk more about that then. Washington beats USC 28-14.
No surprise. Washington, the reason why Washington beats Washington State every year, their coaches understand how to defend the air raid, and that's what USC came trying to do, and it didn't work.
Utah did a pretty good job against it, too, against
finally,
Washington State. Yeah.
Because usually that does Utah cannot stop it, and they figured it out. So they Utah is a team that I've kind of got in my mind is they may be the team in the Pac-12 to beat. But they've got a good home field advantage. Looks like they're figuring things out defensively. But I still think if I had to pick one team up there, I still think Washington because I like Jacob Eason a lot.
Michigan beat Rutgers 52-0. Wow. Everybody beats Rutgers. UCF beat UConn.
Everybody beats UConn.
Yeah. Aggie, Arkansas.
Oh, boy.
This one wound up coming down to the wire.
Everyone saw that coming, right?
Well, I mean, I guess we should have, considering the history between these teams at Jerry World.
God, Arkansas is so bad. And
of course, Starkle gets hurt on trying to make a tackle after he throws an interception.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a... It's a situation where A&M, it can unravel in a hurry. And had they lost this game, now it's like, I mean, people are already kind of shaking their head at Jimbo Fisher. They wanted that Auburn win. They wanted that Clemson win.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I had high expectations for this team. I thought they'd win one of those games. But
Right now, A&M's best win is Arkansas.
Well, and what I was about to say is I think they're closer to Arkansas than they are to Auburn, LSU, Alabama.
Oh, man. I mean,
that's not what you...
That's unimaginable when you've got as much money into that program as A&M does.
And I think in part of it is, you know, Kellen Mond, who I really thought was going to have a big year, he's been okay. He hasn't been dominant. He hasn't been the quarterback that I thought he would be. And just across the board, their running game hasn't been very good. They lost their best running back. I think that's had an impact.
Lost their top two running back.
Yeah.
And I heard an Aggie, I saw an Aggie on Twitter talking about Jimbo will have Aggie ready for Bama off the bye. Guess who else is on bye this week?
Nick Saban.
Alabama.
Yeah.
I think that A&M's going to have some hurt feelings in about 10 days.
Yeah.
I guess it's 11 days.
Yeah. I thought this year would be the year they jump up and won one of those games. And
they're not.
I'm not feeling it right now, I can tell you that. Oklahoma State takes care of Kansas State 26-13. They were only 4-point favorites in this game. This was my best bet of the month on pregame was Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that was. I kind of come around that Oklahoma State was pretty solid. I didn't know yet what Kansas State was, so I didn't want to play against them. But I mean, just the fact that Kansas State is even fielding a decent team is respectable to me, because I wouldn't have expected them to be very good.
Well, that their running back for Oklahoma State is just a monster, and I think they're clearly better than they were last year. By the way, I think they're one of the teams that's 4-0 against the spread. I think I saw Brad tweet that out. And it's funny because the ones that are, there's another team that I've been kind
of. UL Lafayette is my team. I've been playing every week against the spread, and they're undefeated.
And SMU's my other one.
Oh, yeah, they have been too.
Yeah. And Michigan State gets by Indiana 40-31 to set up their big game next week.
Yep. All right.
Well, there's a lot more we'll get to when we come back.
Texas Star Grill Shop. When you're watching football this weekend, you want to be grilling. You want to have some good stuff smoking. But you're like, oh, my grill sucks. It probably does suck. That's why you should go to Texas Star Grill Shop and get a non-suck grill. And they're gonna help you out. They're going to tell you what grill is right for you. You tell them how often you cook, how easy you want it to be, what you're trying to cook. They're going to point you in the right direction. They ended up with me landing on a Pits and Spits smoker, and it can do it all. And it is locally made, heavy-duty, high-quality stuff. There's usually a waiting list. They've got them in store for you right now. They've got outdoor kitchens. They've got pizza ovens. They've got all the best grills, the Big Green Egg. They've got the Weber, Napoleon, Green Mountain, Traeger, all those brands. And they're also going to treat you right. They're going to hand you a beer when you walk in the door. And they're going to give you free delivery and assembly. They're going to give you great prices. You could get Akiyushi beef at cost. You're not getting that anywhere else in town. They get you that as a thank you for being their customer. Stop by and see them, Texas Star Grill Shop, 2045 Southwest Freeway in Houston, or 8905 Louetta in Spring, or always open online, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So no Jerome today?
I did not know.
Yeah, Jerome usually joins us on Tuesday.
I can call him right now.
Yes, if you can call him and get him on.
I didn't check on him earlier.
It's okay. It's okay. It's what happens. We got... I probably should have noticed that he wasn't on the rundown. I usually look at those things and say, hey, did you know this? So, we didn't get a chance to talk about, a couple teams. SMU now in the top 25. Not surprised to see that. They played pretty well.
They're solid.
And I'm really intrigued by this game this week because they play at Tulsa. Or they play Tulsa in Dallas. And they're pretty big favorites. I'm kind of like, at what point does Vegas catch up, or do you keep riding the thing? So here's your best teams against the spread this season. Your boys at UL Lafayette, 5-0. SMU, 5-0. Auburn, 5-0. Okie State, 5-0.
Auburn stole one, but yeah. Still 5-0.
Yeah, yeah. And frankly, I don't think any of the other guys that have been that close. Okay. All right, let's go to our friend Jerome Solomon, TV star, radio star.
Also the guy who said Bill O'Brien's the smartest coach in the NFL, Jerome Solomon.
He is the smartest coach in the NFL in Houston.
Brown educated.
In Houston, well, no, actually not, because Romeo is here.
Once you go Brown, you, you stick around town.
Something like that. Smart. I hope you hardcore gambling gurus took my advice from a week ago at this exact time when I told you how ridiculous the line was on the University of Houston and North Texas.
Fred did.
Yeah, well, no, I wound up not betting it, but I agreed.
Oh,
no, I agreed with
Fred.
You. Yeah,
that was my stone cold lock of the century.
Move on this as if it's already been played.
Well, Jerome, guess what? I had three other stone cold locks that came through, so it was.
You were locked in.
I agreed with you. I thought it was ridiculous, and I even talked about it. And Granato was somebody who said he was tweeting the show saying I said UH would lose. I never said that. You guys.
That ridiculous.
No, what I said was that at 7.5, they still have more talent. Clayton Tune's not that bad. And I also said North Texas is not as good this year as they've been in the past. This isn't 10 win North Texas, but I'd been burned so much by those guys I couldn't bet them.
Yeah,
so.
I wasn't even going on the real, you know, emotion of the situation and the coaching and all that. Even though I based it on, well, if Dana Holgorsen can coach at all, he wouldn't lose his game. But I was really much more basing it on what we all know about gambling. What starting quarterback is out of a game and it affects the line by like 8 points? That just doesn't happen, you know?
In college, yeah, it can actually. But I also think
there's not a lot of them that'll do that, though.
Right.
Not a lot, no. Not a lot. Especially not a lot for a team, for U of H.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. Well, probably Cam Newton, maybe at Auburn, he's out. Maybe the line moves by 8 points. That's a lot of points. Yeah, Derek King, love him to death. He ain't no Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think it was the same thing with Mariota at Oregon.
Yeah.
Was worth about that. I mean, there's been a couple guys. It is pretty rare though.
Cool. So y'all still dogging Bill O'Brien? Here we are, 2 days later. We're on to Atlanta.
No, we've been talking about the Astros mostly today and shooting people, but I did want to get your thoughts on Bill O'Brien's performance, and to me, one of the more embarrassing ones that he's had since he's been here. And I mean, if you had a scale, you know, if you were running a meter of every week you go up or down on what the odds are that Bill O'Brien gets fired in the next year or two. I still feel like it's pretty low, but it feels like this is the highest it's been.
Yeah, it's pretty low, but I guess to agree with you to a certain extent, the meter's moving. Where the meter on a guy like him, who's been here as long as he's been, who is now commandeered all power within the organization, the meter shouldn't be moving at all. And I know we're all, you know, prisoners of the moment, and we go up and down with the team, and the team has done a great job of taking us up and down with them based on how they were up in New Orleans, even with the loss, and down the next week, and up the next week, and down the last. So the team has been trying to do its best. But the meter shouldn't be moving, you know? It just shouldn't. The meter on Bill Belichick isn't moving. Bill O'Brien's not Bill Belichick. So the meter is moving. I still think it's low, but it's low because maybe this is who they are. I think they're capable of so much more than this, that most people do. But, you know, I can't see them going 4-something. Or 5-something, or 6-something. I think 8-8 is really on the table, and that might be who they are. And I don't think that moves the needle to he's got to go kind of thing. So, but he keeps saying dumb stuff like, "Hey, I thought he caught it," you know. But I wanted to challenge it because you know, you give up on it on a play and call yourself down, you're down. And that's not what happened. That's not even dumb. That's, you don't know anything about football if you challenge that play based on his thought process.
Yeah.
Now, his thought process was, hey, look, we were in trouble. I thought we were going to lose. And I think the referees make a lot of mistakes. I challenged it hoping they would make a mistake. I would go on with your bad stuff, Bill. That wasn't it, you know.
Yeah, and even in the post game, he brought up, I guess one of your colleagues asked him about, well, was with the time management, and he brought up Jacksonville again. Oh, Jacksonville was fine.
No, we were good there.
Yeah, really?
Oh no, he's gonna ride that one out. We'll be writing about that one the day he gets fired, because he will still tell you he made a couple of great timeout calls against Jacksonville. You know, late in the game with the team hold down the field and. Or the touchdown, and now they're going for two. You're like, Hey, let's call time out to talk about this two-point conversion. What a great time. That's the greatest timeout in Texas history, according to Bill O'Brien. Why would you ride that when you've blown so many timeout calls, et cetera? He doesn't get it, and he's not going to get it. It's one thing to be stubborn about it. He's not stubborn about it in post-game. He doesn't understand how to operate challenges and timeouts and clock management in the last 2 minutes of the half or the game. And he's been around football far too long not to know how to do that. It's a blind spot in his repertoire of coaching, and it matches up perfectly, unfortunately for Texans fans, with the blind spot in his repertoire of coaching or his coaching style that he doesn't listen to anybody. Because I promise you, it's impossible for him to have hired a whole staff where nobody was saying, time out, don't challenge it, don't challenge, you know, like, if your whole staff is in agreement on that? No. Bill O'Brien's just not listening to people. Or he told them, don't tell me, I'll do what I'm going to do. One or the other, either way. We're all watching the game. We're saying the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And he still does what he does, and he does the wrong thing. That's amazing to me.
And one timeout could have made all the difference in the world there down the stretch. It was just...
What you mean? I mean, come on. It's the second half of a game where your defense is not going to give up a lot of points. Your offense isn't scoring a lot of points. You can't waste time out. You just can't. I mean, you just can't. You can't. If the Texans were up 30-10, we would at some point still have said, "I can't believe this fool challenged that." Right? We would still say that. But it's so much more important to protect those kind of situations when they did. And again, they had another one of those where they run out too many players on the field. They've done that in a couple of games this year already. And it's like, what kind of operation are you running where you can't count to 11?
I got to tell you, I mean, we've been having these same discussions about the guy for 6 years now, and you hope he learns from it and gets better. If anything, he's regressed. And he's just as stubborn as ever, and nothing is going to change. He's never getting fired. It's just he's not. He's
eventually will.
I think there's somebody in management he's pinned to the shower with or something, because that guy's not getting fired.
There's something missing. Hey, look, there was a lot of this same discussion about Gary Kubiak, and believe me, Gary Kubiak improved. He started at a point, and he got better. And continue to get better. He still had issues. You know, there's no question about that. But he improved. With some of the stuff that O'Brien does, you see zero improvement. And frankly, it's amazing. And we're talking about, we're not even talking about improvement on something where it takes repetition to get better at. We're talking about improvement on something that you ought to know this from day one. Okay, fine. You didn't know it day one. Okay, day two, you got it. Day three, you got it? No, and he continues to not get better at something that is very simplistic. And it's, man, I know for it. Hell, it's frustrating for me, and I don't care who wins or loses the game. So I can only imagine what Texan fans are thinking.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can hear him here on 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings with Houston Sports Show, the radio show. And then, of course, you can watch him on Sunday nights on Channel 2 with Houston Sports Show, the TV show. And you can always get his columns on cron.com with Houston Sports, well, just Jerome Solomon Sports Show.
And why do we waste so much time on these jokers, these middle-of-the-road rascals? Baseball, I guess, is just, it's hard to talk a lot of baseball, but we got a baseball team that's so much fun. So entertaining, so good, but hell, they're too good to even. Are they too good to talk about on some level? And you talk about them, but you can't even. There's no debate. Is there anything to debate?
Well, I think the narrative changes now that they're in the playoffs. Those games are going to mean a lot more. And so I think, yeah, you'll be talking about him quite a bit,
yeah,
as you should.
We'll be able to talk about every move and every pitch and every pinch hitter and every, you know, reliever that comes in and doesn't come in, et cetera. So it's ratcheted up, but that's kind of a thing that I think about baseball that makes it baseball just not a good fit for the 21st century because it's not a day-to-day discussion sport, you know? It's sad for people who love the sport. You know, we love it, we get to watch it, but we don't have to talk about it. I mean, like, think, real quick, I know you got to run, but when's the last time somebody hits you up late at night and say, "Man, did you see what AJ Hinch did right now tonight?" They don't really do that.
No.
But
no.
Every Sunday, you hit up about what Bill O'Brien did. You know?
Well, now it's just a drinking game for me. Anytime he bleeps up, I'm taking a shot, and then I'm going to write my column drunk because that's the only way I can watch these damn fools.
You're going to become an alcoholic. No, we'll call you a billaholic.
All right, Jerome. Appreciate you coming on, man. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Thanks, fellas. Catch you later.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hey, let's give something away to the people. Snoop Dogg and the I Want to Thank Me Tour coming to House of Blues Houston on Monday, December 16th at 5:56. Don't call in until then. Caller 5. 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see one of the most influential rap artists of all time. Tickets for Snoop Dogg are on sale now at LiveNation.com. And I have to correct myself. Earlier I said late hits with Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, and Abdul Foster at 7 o'clock. No, tonight it's Soccer Matters with the legend that is Glenn Davis. So I sit corrected. And also at 9 o'clock is the Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad Gilmore. And I should have known that it was Soccer Matters because I saw Victor out there getting ready for the show. So that's totally on me.
Tyler, how are we feeling about Juggalo Trey in there? He's going to be manning the board tomorrow.
I feel like they're little sponges in here. They're soaking everything up.
Okay.
Yeah, those are two of our best young guys there, man.
Is that a good thing?
Well, I mean, comparatively speaking, I mean, let's not... I mean, if we get into wins above replacement, yeah. I don't know. But I've been impressed about these guys.
By the way, Trey, I feel like that yellow and black flannel, that's like Juggalo costume. That's you're kind of playing into the stereotype. Well, okay, he's not good at...
Yeah, he's not good at microphone.
I can't take it off.
Why not?
I just can't.
He just can't. Okay, well, that's you've painted a beautiful picture for the audience, Trey.
Thanks for diving in depth there with us.
You've painted a beautiful picture for him.
Oh, he's distracted by Handsome Andrew is what it is.
It could be.
Yeah, so, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I know you've been out on boats before.
Yeah.
You probably like boating, right?
No.
You don't like it? No. I like it a lot. And, yeah, I've thought if I ever get really rich, maybe a nice...
Sharks out there.
Well, if you got a yacht, like a big-ass yacht or something like that.
The deeper the water, the bigger the boat, the deeper the water, the more crazy creatures there are.
Well, there's a boat for sale that, unfortunately, I don't have $1.275 million.
You don't?
No.
Sell your place in Beaumont.
Well, that'd still be about $80 short.
Okay.
$80 short. Well, Brazil's Ministry of Defense is auctioning off an aircraft carrier with bids starting at $1.275 million. Now, I'm guessing it's going to cost more than that.
I was going to say, million? That seems like a...
Doesn't that seem low?
That seems like a B.
Well, the aircraft carrier was originally commissioned in 1963 in the French Navy, and it was named the... I probably can't say this on air. I'll just spell it F-O-C-H. It's very close to, yeah, that was the French name for it. But it was in service with the
folk ship.
Yeah, the good ship. Never mind. But it was in service with the Brazilian Navy for 7 years, but it was crippled by reoccurring maintenance.
Oh, so they're unloading a lemon.
Well, it sounds like it. Says there were two fires on the boat that killed several sailors.
So it's haunted. It's a lemon. Is this 1.25, that sounds about right.
Well, that's... shocker, lemon bought from the French.
Yeah.
So they paid $12 million to the French and sank $100 million into the money pit that it was. So it was officially decommissioned in 2017. But, you know, I would like to have an aircraft carrier. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
You
what
want
I
to talk about
it.
Home defense?
That's true.
Pretty sure I could protect anything with that. Of course, then you got to buy planes,
right?
And bombs.
You know, there's going to be some Saudi prince or someone who ends up with this thing.
Yeah, and he's going to turn
just
it into
throwing parties.
Yeah, that actually wouldn't suck either. Hey, come to the party we're having on my aircraft carrier. Then you get drunk and try to take off in a plane. That'd be hilarious. Well, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
Well, there you have it. My backup gym. I just kind of like the idea of buying an aircraft carrier. Maybe it's just me. And, you know, I didn't want to bring up that it's Alien Weeks on...
Thank you.
History Channel, and I had a bunch of stories about that.
I'm glad you didn't bring that up.
But I do have one.
Oh, wait. You did.
Oh, I haven't even begun to yet. But I've got a Rolex story for you when we come back.
All right.
How's that for a tease?
All right. How about this for a tease? 49% of you are unhappy at your job. 49%. It's almost half. So that means almost half of you are driving into a job you don't like, not making enough money. You probably hate your boss. It just sucks, but you're still going. Why? Why aren't you changing it? Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take their free career evaluation, and you could be on your way to your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. No computer experience or training? Who cares? Helping people start an IT career from scratch is what they do. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need, and it's more than a school because they're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take the free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.